I'm joined by Detective Sergeant Baz Dixon-Leach from the Met Police. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
So first and foremost, could you explain to us what county lines are? Because lots of people don't understand the term.
County lines is a business model used in the drug dealing market, where the model is that a line is held, that the line itself is a phone number that deals the drugs. It sends out the messages, it advertises, it takes the orders. But the model then relies on a whole system of runners underneath who will deliver the drugs in the area it's in. And it's called county lines because it tends to be run from a major city. About a third of all lines are run from London. And they will be, but the orders will be taken as far out as Cornwall. So the point being that they will have runners in those areas who will deliver the drugs that are ordered on the central line.
Goodness gracious, that's very far reaching as far as the country goes. And I'm not surprised, unfortunately, but it is a surprising statistic that about a third of them are in London. That's a huge number for you guys to have to deal with.
Yes, I mean, there's about, we estimate between 800 and 1200 active county lines running at the moment in the country. So that's the kind of scale of things we're looking at. It's probably the major player in drug dealing in the country at the moment.
Goodness. And obviously lockdown and the pandemic that we're still sort of facing and restrictions, there are always ways that people, particularly criminals, find to get around those loopholes and carry on with their trades, shall we say. What's been your experience of the last few months? What's been going on?
Well, we've certainly found that there has been changes in the marketing of drugs. There were issues at times with the amount that was able to be imported because of the restrictions and checks on the, you know, the less commerce going on overall, did give, and less travel and less movement did give less cover for these, because of course the drugs have to be moved around the country and the cash has to be moved around the country. So there was less cover for that, a bit of it. But we were seeing that the orders were still coming in. In fact, a lot of people, substance use went up for a lot of people. A lot of vulnerable people weren't able to access, you know, drug support programs, things like that. So we saw a real change and an uplift in actual sort of volume. We also saw where you've got this model where you have vulnerable people who are usually being, you know, supported by professionals, whether that's kids going to schools, whether that's social workers visiting, whether that's mental health support or other, you know, adult support services for vulnerable adults, or whether that's even just friends or family visiting and checking in with people or knowing where people were. A lot of that was shut down, which meant that they were far more able to do it in that way. And there were a lot of concerns have been heightened there that during the period they were able to take over certain properties or get children who were not seen as missing because they weren't being reported missing from school or so on. And that was causing a lot of changes, as we saw during COVID and the lockdown.
My next question is, what can people do if they think that someone they know, one of their children, one of their nieces, nephews, a friend, a family friend, is involved in such things?
Okay. Well, there's a lot of resource out there. It doesn't always have to come through, you know, you don't have to approach a police officer and say something. You know, there are signs and symptoms type things to look out for. The NSPCC, Barnardo's, various charities have signs and symptoms. Yeah, Google or other search engines, if you just look at the term county lines for parents, county lines signs, you can start to see some of the things you want to be looking out for. It doesn't always have to be long-term overnight missing. You know, a lot of times we will see children and the adults being used, vulnerable adults. They'll be gone all day, but they'll come back every day because they know they will literally go get on a train, deliver drugs, come back. You know, that's their day. So it's not just the case that someone's going to go missing for weeks at a time. Although that is a very scary one when someone is then taken out to the counties and used as a runner, they will be missing for a significant period of time. So there can be either signs there. In terms of, so that is, you know, with children, it's about parents and about people being aware of them, schools, seeing unexplained income. You'll see often coming back, if someone has been away, if they've been away for a period of time, they might come back very dirty. They won't wash generally when they're away. It's a very tense situation. They'll usually be very, very tired when they come back. And often they will be put under a debt or put under a situation where they feel they're not allowed to tell anyone, they can't reach out. And with young people especially, what you'll find is a lot of emotional sort of lashing out around at the people around them. They'll try and withdraw and they'll be quite angry and quite hard to deal with because they'll feel under such pressure that it affects how they deal with their normal relationships. As far as adults are concerned, you know, we're really looking at vulnerable adults who may need money if they're going to be used, if they're going to be delivering or using, you know, drugs. You're also very much aware of people who live, especially people who live alone, who may not have a big support network around them. You're still seeing those questions of debt, isolating them from their group of family and friends. When you have got people who live alone, who you've got concerns over vulnerabilities, whether that's through mental health or physical disability, sometimes checking that they are safe and well, and that, you know, not being visited and taken over and cuckooed, as we would call it, which is the sort of the biggest fear for the state, sort of the people whose houses are taken over and used to either house drug runners or support the dealing process. And generally, those people will be put under a lot of pressure. Sometimes they'll believe they're befriended. Often they'll be put under debt or other, you know, taken over through force or fear. And they generally will be unable to feel they can reach out for help directly because they feel they're under such pressure or threat. So it would be that thing of saying, knowing, oh, they've got a whole load of people in their house who I don't know, who seem to be coming and going a lot. You know, if you've got neighbours who you worry about and you start seeing this sort of behaviour, you start seeing real concerning numbers of people coming and going from a vulnerable person's address, you know, you can report it to Crime Stoppers, you can report it to the police directly, you know, 101. This is all ways we can look at things. And social services professionals all know the routes that we can do to report these concerns, whether for children or adults. And it really is, you know, we had a really successful week a couple of weeks ago. They took down 10% of the deal lines in the country, about 100 deal lines, 1,000 people or over 1,000 people are arrested, £500,000 cash, £1 million of drugs was seized. You know, we can do all that, but a lot of that is from intelligence that we're going to have to gain by doing the basic safeguarding things of going out and helping the vulnerable people and understanding what's going on in the communities.
And my last question is, because you're talking about the fact that these young people or adults, whenever they get involved in these difficult situations that get increasingly difficult to get out of, and obviously a lot of focus on mental health during lockdown as well, what can people do if they find that they themselves are in that situation? Because obviously, you're saying they are in quite often fearful of what might happen to them. They obviously don't want to go directly to the police because then again, they may put themselves into danger. What can you say to anybody who may find themselves going down that path at the moment, and how can they get themselves out of it safely?
I mean, first of all, I'd say that the police, we have a model where we look at anyone in these situations as a victim. You know, we really are there to support them. And it is not the case, as they will be told, you know, you will go to prison, you will be held responsible for the stuff you're doing. You know, we have a whole system, a whole mechanism to support victims of these are modern slavery offences, as we'd call them. You know, we have that system in place. We have specialist officers, we have specialist safeguarding officers, we have specialist teams who work all around these victims. And they are victims of exploitation and crime. They're not suspects. They're not people we would look to prosecute. So that is one side of it. I'd say we are there to reach out. But equally, I think the only thing, if this gets through to someone, great, is to reach out to anyone, you know, whether it's a family or a friend, whether it's don't be scared to tell someone what's going on. And if someone reaches out to you and you don't know what to do, and that's hopefully what we said is, you know, that's the Crime Stoppers, that's the professional, the social worker, the school, the teacher, talk to someone, because we have our mechanisms in place to get those referrals to the right people. Don't think you have to solve it yourself. Don't feel that you have to get yourself out of it or you have to get your family member out of it. You know, we have ways and we have lots of officers and lots of professionals waiting to help these people.